Radio Prague News.
The NATO summit in Chicago has approved the setting up of a multinational helicopter training center based in the Czech Republic. A Prague councilwoman has accused former mayor Pavel Bem of wasting nearly €1 billion on worthless projects. And lower house chairwoman Miroslava Němcová has proposed a bill to strip convicted MPs of their seats in parliament. The NATO summit in Chicago has approved the setting up of a multinational helicopter training center based in the Czech Republic. The project, presented together with Croatia, is the Czech Republic's contribution to NATO's Smart Defense Initiative. The center will be used to train the pilots of NATO member states whose militaries are equipped with Russian-made Mi-type helicopters. Croatia has offered suitable training ground. The Smart Defense Initiative deals with interconnecting different capabilities of member countries to reach higher effectiveness and economy. The daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reports that the administration of former Prague mayor Pavel Bem wasted nearly €1 billion on useless IT projects. Citing councillor Eva Vorlichkova, the paper writes that projects were apparently launched for the sole purpose of siphoning money from the city budget. One of the projects, she said, involved 390 million worth of wireless internet equipment that does not work and will have to be dismantled. An audit has been ordered and a police investigation will be sought. Mr. Bem is under heavy scrutiny since wiretap recordings emerged, suggesting he allowed a wealthy friend undue influence over city administration. Lower house chairwoman Miroslava Němcová has proposed a bill to strip convicted MPs of their seats in parliament. The constitutional amendment would not apply to those given a suspended sentence, such as former public affairs leader Vít Bárta, who was convicted of bribery in April. Ms. Němcová said that in addition to ethical considerations, it would be impossible for a prisoner to carry out the rights and obligations of an MP. The bill will now be discussed by the government and must be approved by a two-thirds majority in parliament in order to take effect. Members of the Parliamentary Immunity Committee will question former Governor David Rath in Prague, but not in Parliament. Dr. Rath is currently under arrest in Litoměřice prison on charges of corruption. His request to be heard in Parliament, where he is still an MP, was rejected, and members of the committee meanwhile refused to go to the prison. The decision was therefore made to question him at a Prague police station. The committee is tasked with either recommending or stopping the investigation into Mr. Rath, who police caught receiving €7 million cash payment last week. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days should be clear to partly cloudy, with a chance of daytime showers and highs of 26 to 28 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the largely unreformed Communist Party holds the course at a party conference over the weekend, and the Czech ice hockey team brings home the bronze medal from Finland. That and more in today's sports news. Later on in the show, Ian Willoughby talks to Magdalena Socek, one of the most influential women in Czech business. In today's one-on-one, she recalls the crazy days right after the Velvet Revolution, when her company had trouble even finding an office.
The faxes were lying on my couch, which I had to turn into a bed for the night, so it was very efficient. I certainly had to see every fax that arrived that day.
An interview with Magdalena Socek coming up in a few minutes, and we'll end the show today with a Czech lesson as usual, so do please stay with us. Amidst growing public support, the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia elected a new leadership at a party conference in Liberec at the weekend. The re-election of the pragmatic incumbent chair Vojtěch Filip reflects the dilemma the party faces. Modernization could rob the party of support by communist hardliners, while a more radical approach would make it unappealing to the growing number of voters disillusioned with a centre-right Czech government. Jan Richter reports.
Czech communists did not take any risks at the Eighth Party Congress held in Liberec over the weekend. The delegates re-elected the current party chair Vojtěch Filip, who in the second round of voting beat hardliner Stanislav Grospič by a comfortable margin of over 100 votes. The third candidate for the post, a more liberal representative of a new generation of Czech communists, Martin Juroška, only received 96 votes. The results of the vote reflect the party's unwillingness to modernize in order to attract a wider spectrum of voters, besides the regular 10-14% of protest votes the party usually receives at the polls. But it also shows how difficult it is to keep the party hardliners at bay. Kateřina Konečná is a 31-year-old communist MP from Northern Moravia.
People know in the Czech Republic that it's not a person who see history as something only nice and good. And yeah, the delegates or the people in the Congress say their opportunity and say that we have a many way, but I think that the win is the way where attempts to return us to the past were rejected. And this is for me important.
Ms. Konečná is referring to the fact that the Congress favored Vojtěch Filip over hardliner Stanislav Grospič. But rejecting the extremist wing within the party does not necessarily mean reshaping it into a modern left-wing group. In a series of recent polls, the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia ranked second strongest in the country, with around 17% voter support, behind the opposition Social Democrats but ahead of the center-right Civic Democrats. That might open the way to government for the long ostracized party. But the communists would have to make a clean break with the past and lose the stigma of the totalitarian party that ruled the country with the help of Soviet tanks. Commentator Jan Čulík says that in recent elections, frustrated Czech voters again and again supported new parties which would deal with some of the pressing issues of the day, such as corruption. But the communists have so far been unable to tap that voter potential.
I don't think that the support of the Czech communists is generated by the fact that they love Marxism, Leninism and the pre-1989 regime, but it's a protest vote. It is very regrettable that the Czech Communist Party absolutely is not able to actually sort of step into the present and start dealing with the problems and the disillusionment that the Czech population feels as a kind of modern political party.
The Social Democrats have until now shunned the communists, although the two parties did form some regional governments together. The Communist Party now looks to the autumn regional elections with hope a good showing at the polls might make them a more attractive match and eventually pave the way for them to enter government.
Jan Richter with that report. Now, this being Monday, it's time for a summary of the sports news, and there's plenty to report on this week after what was an exciting weekend for Czech sports fans.
Okay, and you're probably most interested in the hockey, but we are going to begin first with football, where there was also major news at the weekend. Star goalie Petr Cech became just the fourth Czech in football history to hoist the Champions League Cup after Chelsea defeated Bayern Munich in Munich, Germany on Saturday. Cech was also one of the main heroes of the match, the last line of a formidable defense that stopped wave after wave of attacks by the superior Bayern. The goalkeeper was beaten only once in regular time. It was Miller who finally broke the deadlock, and he scored what looked like it would be the winner in the 82nd minute, but Chelsea's talismanic Didier Drogba put Chelsea level again just 2 minutes from time. In the extra frame, Cech continued to shine, with a turning point coming after he saved a penalty kick by striker Arjen Robben. When the game came down to extremely dramatic penalties after extra time, Chelsea trailed at 1-3-1, but Cech then stopped Ivica Olic and, some say, got a touch on Bastian Schweinsteiger's shot which hit the post. Drogba then scored the winner, securing the famous trophy for Chelsea. After the game, here's what goalkeeper Petr Cech said. When I saved Robin's penalty, I began to believe we would successfully see things through. In this game, I faced a total of 6 penalty shots. And each time I guessed the direction correctly and went the right way. That gave me the added confidence that I would be able to stop at least one of them. A day after the win, Petr Cech turned 30 years old, making clear he couldn't imagine a better birthday present. Erased at last is the disappointment of losing in the Champions League final in Moscow, also on penalties against Manchester United 4 years ago. As the press noted, the Chelsea triumph is a major one for Chelsea's old guard that includes longtime players like Didier Drogba, Frank Lampard and John Terry. Continuing with football, there was a slight scare that the Czech national squad captain midfielder Tomáš Rosický might be in a spot of injury trouble ahead of the European Championship, which begins soon in Ukraine and Poland. Rosický suffered a slight groin injury, but the prognosis is that he should be fully ready. Here's what the player said. I was really exhausted from the regular season. It was very long and I played all the time. I even had problems with my heel, so I didn't train for 2 weeks before. So I was wiped out from the matches themselves and didn't have time to recover in training. And turning to hockey now, on Sunday the Czech national hockey squad rebounded just a day after losing the semi-final at the World Championships in ice hockey to Slovakia. In its final game of the tournament, the team beat Finland 3-2 to take the bronze medal for the second year in a row. In 2010, the team won gold in Germany. The result was particularly satisfying for teammates like 40-year-old veteran Petr Nedvěd, who is not likely to return to the roster next year. Meanwhile, here's how the result was rated by team coach Alois Hadamčík. I'm glad that after the big disappointment of the semi-final, they were able to get some rest and came back in a fighting mood. They showed that they wanted to win, that they wanted the medal both for themselves and for the nation, and they played a really good game. In the bronze medal game, the Czech team scored all three of its goals in the first period, and then had to weather an onslaught that brought Finland within one. In the third, for example, the Finns outshot the Czechs 14-1, but goalie Jakub Štěpánek held on. And that's all the sport for today.
Jan Wellinger there with the sports news. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where we're now offering you our in-depth interview of the week, in which we meet a Prague-born woman who, after an early life that took her to the United Kingdom and the United States, became one of the most important women in the world of business here in the Czech Republic. Magdalena Socek is Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's edition of One on One.
As managing partner for the Central and Southeast Europe region for the global accounting giant Ernst & Young, Magdalena Socek has frequently topped lists of the most influential women in Czech business. With her doctor parents coming and going from Czechoslovakia, she spent part of her childhood and youth in Western Europe, before studying in the US and beginning her career there with Arthur Andersen. But when communism fell in her native country, she soon returned to set up a Czech branch of the firm, at a time when even basic amenities were hard to find. When we spoke at Ernst & Young's gleaming offices on Prague's Karlovo Náměstí, I first asked Magdalena Socek about her peripatetic childhood.
We actually left more than once. I think when it all started, when I was three, my parents worked in Scotland and I joined them for a year. So actually I started going to school in Scotland and I learned my English basically in the street. This was before 68, so we returned, I think, shortly in the spring, shortly before the invasion. And so we've lived here much like everybody else, but we're lucky enough to have some family and some relatives actually and some friends abroad, and we were able to generally travel. So it was always very difficult on those travels coming back home. You know, you get to the point where you're driving by car and it says Československá státní hranice, the border, and it's 100 kilometers, then it's 80, then it's 50, and then it's, what do we do? Do we go or do we not go? I start crying just talking about that. But anyway, so finally we decided to stay. We stayed in England, and my parents started working, and I started going to school, and that was the beginning, I guess.
As a child, could you sense the difference between here and the West? How clear was that to you as a kid?
I was very exposed to it. I mean, and I wasn't a child anymore, really. I was 12, and I had a very good sense of what was happening and the implications of it. And the living in different countries, you know, living here and living there as a child, of course, nothing bad happened to me here. I had a lovely childhood and fond memories, which is why it was so difficult to decide to go.
You went to university in America. You went to the University of Massachusetts to study economics and business management. What was it that drew you to that area, that whole field?
That's very simple. I come from a medical family, and I started medical studies here. And so actually I left after my first year of medical school, and I decided not to go back to medicine. The only non-doctor in my family was my grandfather, and he kind of did this. He was a tax advisor in the First Republic, and so maybe there was some genes left in me that related to it. But really, I liked the pragmatism of it. I mean, we studied at school what you read in the paper, unlike medicine, where there were tons and tons of books that didn't really relate to my future practice.
You spent the whole of the 1980s in America. During that time, were you closely following events in Czechoslovakia, or were you more focused on building your career and life in a new country?
I was very much tied to Czechoslovakia. My grandmother lived here. I was always very, very close to her. So yes, but also having said that, I thought it was important to not live in a Czech community. So I was very much integrated into the American society, having American friends there, but very much in touch with home.
And you came back very soon after the changes at the end of 1989. What spurred you so soon to come home?
I felt I had unfinished business. Maybe it had to do with my grandmother being here. So when the curtain came down, or the wall came down, I should say, and all the consulting firms were opening up offices, I thought, what if Anderson goes to Prague and it's not me? So I was very active in trying to get us opened, and it was something I really wanted to do.
And how was it setting up a branch of Arthur Andersen here in Prague in the early 90s? That was also, of course, the time of the Wild East, as it was known.
Yes, it was very much the Wild East. It was exciting times. Of course, for me, I was wondering, when I get off the plane, when I arrive, what will I do the next day? And I had some meetings set up from the network, so actually it worked out okay. But we operated out of the apartment of my grandmother for almost 8 months, because office space was difficult to get. And I think we moved out when there was about 20 of us. So we used to have meetings either at home or in hotels. Also, there were no emails then, so I got faxes. The faxes were lying on my couch, which I had to turn into a bed for the night. So it was very efficient. I certainly had to see every fax that arrived that day. So I thought it was more effective probably than emails today.
The Czech branch of Arthur Andersen later became part of Ernst & Young, and now you're a managing partner for Central and Southeast Europe, as well as being country manager still for the Czech Republic. Generally speaking, how would you compare the business environment in this part of the world and in America?
I would say in Europe there is probably more focus on better quality of life, more balance in life. Business in the U.S. is probably faster, I would say more efficient, and I would say cleaner. People's words can be trusted more. I remember when I first came, we couldn't start working without having a contract signed, which is not something that used to happen the same way in the States. I think corruption here is still an issue. I am personally involved through the American Chamber of Commerce. EY is involved through Platform for Transparent Contracts. And we're trying to improve the general business environment in the sense of corruption, but it is still an issue.
And speaking of corruption, it seems to be the thing that everybody talks about here all the time. How does it impact your work, which must be to a large extent to do with transparency?
Myself, by background, I'm an auditor, so audits generally are the same everywhere. You always rely on integrity of management, so it doesn't impact me as such in my work, but I think it very much impacts the economy. It impacts the resources that are really not being channeled to the best businesses and are not being put to the best use. I think for the society as a whole, that corruption is a big problem.
There's often unclarity surrounding the ownership of businesses here. Would that ever lead you to refuse to work for a company?
Yes, our client acceptance policies are very strict, we do look at ownership of the company, integrity of management. It's a whole process around accepting a client. So yes, we do decline.
Would that happen often?
Luckily not.
We often hear about the glass ceiling for women in business. Could you possibly compare that glass ceiling here and in America? Is it the same or different in some way?
Well, I'm not a believer in the glass ceiling. I actually think it's about priorities. I think not every woman wants to go for a career because there are things that you have to give up. There are trade-offs, and so not everybody wants to do that. But I think if you want it hard enough, you can get there, and I think that applies to the Czech Republic as well as the U.S.
Generally speaking, how do you view developments here over the last two decades, or now it's 22 years?
Well, I think we've come a long way. Business is being done, let's say, regularly in terms of there are laws and there are processes which more resemble those that are used in other countries. So we've, I think, become westernized and we have the laws to support it. However, what is missing is the transparency and the corruption that is catching us. And I think also our unstable government is not helping us. We could move faster if we had more of a continuity and a clear track.
My final question is, you use the name Socek, not Sochkova, without the OVA ending. Why is that, and does it ever lead to any problems?
This dates back to when I immigrated, when I had to fill my name for the foreign police and for my foreign passport, or I should say non-Czech passport. Then you use your father's name, so that's without the OVA. And so once I became that and I returned, I saw no reason to switch it. So that's why it's no big secret behind it.
But you don't get people trying to call you Sochkova?
Yes, of course, and I sometimes call myself that too. So it's a bit of a mix.
Businesswoman Magdalena Socek, or Sochkova, ending that edition of One on One. And we wind up today's Half Hour from Prague with another part in Radio Prague's popular language series ABC of Czech, which we're currently rerunning.
Ahoy, and welcome to ABC of Czech. I'm Heather Bowne, and I'm in the studio today with
Martin Mikulek.
Today we're talking about colors.
Barvy.
And not just a few colors, but all the colors of the rainbow. In Czech, there are two words for rainbow. The first,
duha,
is the rainbow after the rain. The other is
paleta,
which is more of a technical term for a series of colors, like a color wheel or color scheme.
Paleta
may also be used to refer to primary colors.
Základní barvy.
Which is literally basic colors. You know what? Before we move on to all the colors of the rainbow, why don't we make sure we know our primary colors?
Základní barvy.
There are three, right? Blue, red, and yellow.
Modrá, červená a žlutá. Modrá
is blue.
Červená
is red, although you can also say
rudá,
as in
rudé náměstí.
Red square. or
Rudé právo,
Red Justice, the old communist newspaper, and
Žlutá
is yellow. Blue plus red equals purple.
Fialová. Fialová,
which is related to the English violet, which after all is just another way of saying purple in English. Blue plus yellow equals green.
Zelená. Zelená
is related to the Czech word for vegetables.
Zelenina.
Red plus yellow equals orange.
Oranžová.
The word
oranžová
sounds just like orange in English, but remember it's spelt a little differently, with a Z instead of a G. The word for an orange in Czech is
pomeranč.
And the word
pomerančová
means pertaining to oranges, as in
pomerančový džus.
You can probably guess what the Czech word
džus.
By the way, the word
džus
is spelled D-Z-U-S. So what about all the colors of the rainbow? There are a few more than just primary colors. Do you ever remember learning Roy G. Biv in science class to help memorize the colors of the rainbow? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Roy G. Biv. How would that go in Czech? As it turns out, Czech students don't have anything like Roy G. Biv for remembering the colors of the rainbow. Why don't we come up with our own? So grab a pen. Ready? Okay. The word for red is
červená.
Orange is
oranžová.
Yellow,
žlutá.
Green,
zelená.
Blue,
modrá.
Indigo is also
indigo.
And violet is
fialová.
Did you come up with anything? I did, but it's pretty hard to pronounce. So why don't we start with the first letters of each word?
Č-O-Ž-Z-M-I-F.
Whoa, and all together it's
Čozmif.
That's just about as silly as Roy G. Biv. One last note.
Poznámka.
Did you notice that all the colors in Czech except indigo end with the sound
a?
That is because the Czech word for color
barva
is feminine and ends with the sound
a.
So even when you're saying the colors in Czech without the word color, it still needs to agree. That was a pretty heavy program today, wasn't it? So we'll leave it at that. Don't forget to practice all the colors of the rainbow.
Čozmif.
Take care.
Mějte se.
Bye-bye.
Čau, čau.
That was ABC of Czech, and I'm afraid that it's brought us to the end of today's program. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. Should you like to write to us, then please send a mail to english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.